Hello, everyone, and welcome to Audio Gossip with Lady J. Tonight is episode 16, and I have with me Brian Howe of Greywalker. Hi, Brian, how you doing tonight?
Hello, world. I am doing well.
You don't quite sound like the hardcore metal guy going on there. Sound pretty normal, pretty average.
Hey, you'd be surprised.
I would not be, because I've seen you on stage, honestly. So, I know what that's all about.
Certainly, I'm saving up the energy. You know, right now I'm in a bit of a hibernation, if you will, until our upcoming shows. You know, I gotta save that energy.
Well, your band isn't in hibernation though, because just yesterday you guys released the video Dark Waters from your new album.
Mm-hmm. We sure did. And it's been really cool being able to share that with the world finally, because we had filmed it a few months ago, actually. Like, I think we filmed it back in June. So it's cool to finally have it out. And our good buddy Nathan King shot the video for us. He also shot the video for Without Control, which is the title track from our album.
Now, is that already out? Going to be coming out?
Yeah. With the Without Control video is out. We released that video, I believe, the week that we released the CD. We released the video and the album in the same week. I'm pretty sure that the timeline doesn't particularly matter. It's available. You can watch it if you would like.
Now, I myself would suggest going to the YouTube channel for Greywalker. Now that's GREYWALKER.
Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
I see gray spelled in two different ways, and it always messes me up.
Yeah. I think that it might be a good idea for me to go into all of our video tags and start spelling Greywalker incorrectly, so if somebody spells it wrong, they'll still find us.
Not a bad idea.
I never thought about that until just now. We should also probably buy the Greywalker with an A domain name, so if somebody goes to greywalker.net, which is our website, it'll take you to the right one. But, hey, that's, you know. Or if somebody's listening to this, they can buy Greywalker with an A.net and making something really inappropriate and embarrassing. Feel free. We would have no problem if anybody wanted to do that. We respect the troll 100%.
So. If they do, though, then they need to actually have a link for, did you mean Greywalker with an E?
No, it's okay if they don't. It's okay. If somebody wants to be a jerk to us, I hope that they just commit to it fully. You know, if you're going to do something, do it right. So it's a motto behind our band. So we would hope that anybody out to troll us would, you know, at least show us that level of respect.
Well, if you're going to do it right. And I was looking over this video. Now, you had told me before that this was just the everybody in a room video, but you've had a few out there.
Uh-huh, totally, yeah. Yeah, the Dark Waters video that we dropped yesterday, that was our bunch of guys playing in a room that it makes no sense. Why are they there? Whose room is that? How'd they get there? Who are they playing music for? What's the deal? I don't know. It just looks cool. And bands have been doing it forever. So we threw our hat in, you know. This is our band in a room video. Check it out.
Now, you have a video that is a concept video, I believe, that you mentioned.
Yeah. That's the Without Control video that was also shot by Nathan King, the same person that did the Dark Waters video, which was actually really fun because those videos are such polar opposites of each other in every single way imaginable. The Without Control video, we're not in the video at all. It's 110% story, and there's different sets and a lot of editing and post effects, like very much like it's a short film practically. Whereas the Dark Waters video, I mean, it's just us in a room, one continuous take, no editing at all. Just very, like, very raw and to the point. So it was cool to work with him on two completely different projects.
Hair thrashing around, everybody doing their thing.
Yeah. We wanted to really just do something that was just Raw just made you feel like you were in the moment, just like super, like just in the cyclone with us. That's kind of like a first person perspective of what it might feel like if you were a sixth member in the band, if you will, just running around in a room with us going nuts. That's kind of what it feels like being in the band. That video, I just thought of that right now. That's my explanation.
Dark Waters being in the band with Gray Walker.
Yes. The only thing we could have done to make it a little better was like the 3D experience. We would have like, say you could like Google Glass your way through the video. That would have been pretty cool. But hey, there's plenty of videos to be made still. We really like doing video content and we plan on shooting some more videos coming up pretty soon. So keep an eye out on the Gray Walker YouTube. There's a lot more stuff to come. There's actually a couple videos that we already shot that we haven't even released yet. They aren't music videos. They're more like studio playthrough videos. A little bit more like educational kind of things about the album. But that stuff's shot and filmed. We'll be releasing them over the next couple months while we continue to keep shooting other videos. And yeah. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Please tell me about the videos. I mean, it's wonderful to see produced videos on any band's page.
It's a lot of fun to do it, and I know that we're a little more fortunate in the sense that, you know, some of us have knowledge in video editing and production, and we have friends that are, you know, that do video editing and production work. But for any other bands out there that are looking to get videos made, you can get really good quality stuff made within, you know, a reasonable budget and time frame. And I really suggest, you know, to all bands to, you know, go shake some hands, meet some people, or even just hit us up. We'll gladly give you any contacts we have, you know, if you're a band looking to get some video work done. I know the guys that have done stuff for us that we work with are always more than happy to work with other people. So that's a little, just throwing that out there. I think that it would be cool to see more video content from local bands. Not that there isn't any, but, you know, I think there could be more. For sure.
There definitely could. My site, First Angel Media, is putting out band video content. And honestly, whenever I told my staff, hey, pick some bands that you want videos, and they're like, oh, there's so many. And I said, oh, but the trick is they have to have a video.
Sure.
But I think that it's a wonderful thing, though, that you're offering the help, because I believe that one of the problems with not having the videos and not having things like that out there are that no one knows where to go. They see this cool stuff like Dark Waters, and they're not certain who to go to in order to get it.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely, you know, resources can be an issue, and networking is a problem for some people too, which is an unfortunate irony, I think, of being an artist. A lot of artists, at least that I know, kind of come from a bit of a, I don't want to say like a sheltered background, but kind of like a not so social background. You know, they're a little introverted. So when it comes to creating art and putting these things out into the world, like they're really good at creating the art. But the sense of putting it out into the world and networking and starting to meet other people, that's where that artist introvert thing kind of becomes a double-edged sword, if you will. So I try my best, you know, through, as I do a podcast as well that I've been doing for the past like 4 years, and I've talked with a whole lot of artists from a ton of different genres of music, and it's pretty common across the board that one of those things is people just don't know where to start, and they don't for some reason feel comfortable, you know, asking or talking to strangers. So to bring it all back home, I always, you know, do my best if I'm seeing bands that I think are doing cool stuff to throw my two cents in on things that I think they could improve on, even if they don't ask me for it. I'm not trying to be like a turd. It's more or less just a thing like, hey, you know, I try to help people out and give them advice that I wish people would have given me when I was starting out, because I spent a lot of time doing things the wrong way. And yeah, if I can help any younger talent avoid that, then I think it's important to do that. So I do. End of story. Okay.
I love that. I totally believe that anybody in the scene itself should be open to helping out others. And I kind of make it my business to try to see where pieces can fit and connect people. And I can't do some of the things like you guys do, the shows and such, but I try to make certain that people meet so that they can do great things together.
Totally.
And one great way to network, I think, is actually one of your upcoming shows, the Brutal Beer Fest, is going on at Mr. Small's.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone who doesn't know where Mr. Small's is, that would be in Millvale. It's two separate venues, and they are going to take it over completely for a day.
That is correct. So, a little backstory on the Brutal Beer Fest. It is as one might assume, it is a one-part music festival, one-part beer festival. It was founded by the powerhouse duo of Meg and James Evans. Shout outs to them. They are really good friends of the band and just good friends in general, good people. They are both beer brewers, and they also are both metalheads. So a few years ago, they put together Brutal Beer Fest, and through whatever fortunate stars aligning, we were asked to play the festival. Somebody knew somebody that knew them, and they got a hold of us and asked us if we would want to play this beer and heavy metal themed music festival. And we were like, do you know who you're talking to? Of course we want to play this. And ever since then, you know, I became really good friends with them, and I helped organize Brutal Beer Fest 2, which was last year at Mr. Small's, and now we're doing year 3 again at Mr. Small's. That's coming up in October on the 20th, and yeah, it's an all-day music festival with all heavy metal-focused bands, over 30 breweries. All of the bands playing the festival are collaborating with a brewery to make their own unique beer for the festival. The bands on the festival are both local and national. This year, we have Dying Fetus headlining with support from Incantation, Gate Creeper, Through the Eyes of the Dead, Black Tusk, Earthling, and locals would be Plasmid, Riparian, No Reason to Live, and Greywalker we will be playing as well. And, tickets are still on sale for that. If you're interested in anything I'm saying, you could just go onto your social media platform of choice and type in Brutal Beer Fest. That's BREWTAL Fest, Brutal Beer Fest, and or pghbrutalbeerfest.com if you don't want to do any social media and just go straight to the website. Tickets, general admission, I believe they are $60, and that includes, you know, obviously access to the festival, all of the bands, and all you can drink beer samples. So that $60 pays for your 11 bands and all you can drink beer from 30 breweries, including at least a dozen beers that are only, you would only be able to drink that one day at that festival. That's all I have to say about Brutal Beer Fest. It's a really cool thing and I'm really excited about it.
Having covered it last year, and looking forward to First Angel Media coverage, hopefully, of this year.
Yeah.
I can say that was one of the best shows I've been to. And there's very few that I can make that claim about. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything like that, but seriously, Brutal Beer Fest left me stunned. It was amazing. I loved all the bands that were there. They were just amazing. I mean, they blew me away. It was my first time ever hearing Post-Mortal Possession, and I got to see, there were like 11 bands that night.
Mm-hmm. Well, last year we had 10 bands. This year we have 11.
Okay, there we are.
But, I mean, close enough. But we try our best to do, we want to have a good mixture of stuff and, you know, try to represent the metal genre as a whole, as best as we can. Like last year, we had Baroness headline, and then we also had Fit for an Autopsy on the bill. And I don't know if there's many circumstances when you would get to see both of those bands play the same bill. And it was really cool getting to do that. This year, the package is a little bit more death metal focused, but it's still a good diverse lineup. You know, we have bands like Incantation, and then somebody like Earthling are on, you know, two totally different sonic spectrums. So it's going to be cool to have both of those bands on the same stage. And the locals, the selection of locals is really cool. And I wish that we had the ability to make it even bigger. You know, if we could do 2 days and have more bands, that'd be great. Cause I always feel like we could always do more with it, but we're also still a growing festival. So we're still trying to keep it in a reasonable, you know, like a manageable bubble right now for us. You know, we don't want to go in too big and then have the whole thing collapse. So, but hopefully in the future, if this year does well, you know, we'll see what goes on next year. I'm sure we'll keep on working on trying to get it a little bit bigger and better as it grows.
It seemed extremely well put together last year. And for anybody that likes music or beer, I mean, there was enough for everyone. I do remember one of the vendors, First Sip Brew Box, was there last year with things that weren't exactly beer, but were beer-related.
Yeah.
And you guys had a pretty neat little thing at the end there, the awards ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a belt won.
Yes. We do basically all of the beers that are at the festival. The people that are at the festival can vote for their favorite collaboration beer, and then, you know, the winners of that collaboration beer, they get, you know, the band gets a belt, the brewery gets a cool trophy, and then the band gets to come back and play again next year. So that was originally what happened with the first year with Gray Walker. I wasn't part of the festival at all. And, you know, we were super excited to be playing the festival. So we took our role in getting to make a beer pretty seriously. And we teamed up with Penn Brewery and Maggie's Farm Rum. And we made a really, really cool vanilla rum porter style beer, and everybody really, really liked it. We ended up winning that year, and we got asked to play again for year two. And year two, I also joined the board at Brutal Beer Fest as a organizer for the event. So I helped put together the event and things like that. And when it came time to us playing the festival and being part of this competition again, there was a really decent sized part of me that really didn't want us to win the competition, just because I felt that it wouldn't be a good look, because a lot of people knew that I was one of the organizers for the event. And I don't know, maybe I was overthinking it, but I was just thinking, man, like, all these other beers are really, really good, and I hope that, you know, somebody else wins. But for whatever reason, you know, I guess it's just people liked our stuff. We ended up winning again this year, or last year. So now we are defending our belt again for the third year in a row. We are working with Penn Brewery and Maggie's Farm again, as well as we're bringing a couple more people on board. We're doing a five-way collaboration, which I don't know if we want to get into all of that, but we're making another beer this year, and I don't know, hoping, I guess, to defend our title against all these other chumps out there. Yeah, you heard me.
Now you're sitting here talking about, oh yeah, we made a beer. I wouldn't know the first place to go about making a beer. I mean, I would be so lost. I would just be standing there like a complete idiot staring at the process. Is it difficult?
Well, I mean, the cool thing about the Brutal Beer Fest is that we link all of the bands up with breweries. It's not like we're like, hey, you can make a beer and we'll have it here, you know. It's very, everybody's kind of placed with a brewery, and then the bands can be as involved or uninvolved in the process as they want to be.
Are you rather involved?
We're pretty involved. I mean, we've already had 3 taste testing sessions for this year's beer, like getting together with the head brewer, Nick, at Penn Brewery, and putting together like different test recipes and really like geeking out over what we want this beer to be. And that's what we did the past 2 years as well. Fortunately, Nick and everybody at Penn Brewery are really, really awesome people, and they're really into, you know, taking the time to make sure that the stuff that we're doing is really cool. And they just like, you know, they come out to shows and stuff, and they've been super supportive since we've met them. So, but to answer your question about making beer, is it difficult? I don't think I personally would have the patience to do it. Any things generally are only as difficult as you let them be, I guess, in a very broad sense. You know, I don't think that us making a beer was any more difficult than us making a music video. It's just a matter of knowing the right person to call and then having an idea, right? Like, hey, we have this idea for a music video. We have this idea for a beer. Is it doable? Yes? No? No? Okay, well then what can we do? I think for us, it's just a lot more brainstorming and compromise and needing to, you know, bring our ideas back down to reality of what we can actually achieve, because sometimes you can let your imagination run wild, but then when you put it in the hands of somebody that actually needs to do it, like the people actually have to make the beer, sometimes we've had ideas that just weren't exactly good ideas, or they just weren't, there wouldn't be maybe enough time to do it. Different beers take different time, amounts of time to brew, and this is a rabbit hole of a conversation we can get into.
It doesn't surprise me, coming from a band that does hot sauce too.
So the hot sauce thing came about after we had the beer that we did, and then we got to do, so we did Brutal Beer Fest 2 years in a row, and then it wasn't too long after that that Black Forge Coffee House, shout out to Ashley and Nick, they're really good friends of ours, they wanted to make a Grey Walker latte, which they added to the menu. So at Black Forge, I'm not sure if it's still on their menu or not, but for some time they had a Grey Walker latte, and it was like a white chocolate cayenne pepper mocha or something. I can't remember the exact description. I know it was white chocolate latte, and it was kind of spicy.
Now, for anyone who doesn't follow the Black Forge info, this wonderful couple has had such an amazing turnout with the events that they throw that I believe we're looking at a second Black Forge.
Yeah. They are opening up a second space. It's going to be, you know, a bigger venue space, and they're going to be part of what was going on or what is still going on in the Allentown area. They're trying to help do something and be a part of that over in the McKees Rocks area, which is really cool because there's some cool stuff over there now, but, you know, there could be a lot more. So I'm happy to see some friends over there making some moves like that.
Definitely.
Yeah, they're super cool. I've known Ashley for almost 10 years now at this point, which is wild thinking about it. Makes me feel a little bit old. Not that I'm old by any means, but it's just kind of, it's interesting, like, you know, knowing somebody that you didn't grow up with and that you didn't go to high school with or anything like that, like somebody that you met like in your adult life, knowing them for 10 years makes
this
you feel like
just like a hair older,
not anything crazy, but it's just like, holy shit. Like, we've gone through a lot of life phases, you know. It's funny. I feel like, both of us 10 years ago were like severely more embarrassing people than we are now. And, you know, every once in a while we joke about it, but it's all in good fun. Ashley's awesome. But back on track to the hot sauce, you know, we basically just started like accumulating all of these funny little food related things. And me and our bass player Colt are both really into hot sauce and like fancy boutique brand hot sauces. And we were just like, hey, it would be really funny if we had a hot sauce. And then lo and behold, Evan was like, I actually know a guy. And here he went to high school with Tom Mata, who runs Allegheny City Farms, and that's who made our hot sauce. And much like the beers, you know, we met up with Tom and had little taste testing sessions and put all of our heads together and came up with, you know, what eventually became Mellow Death, which was a, well, it's still a peach-based hot sauce shout outs to my girlfriend Stacy, because she was actually the one that made the call for adding peaches to it. And then the main pepper in it is a habanero ghost pepper hybrid.
Mm.
And yeah, it's a good sauce. I would say for the casual person, it's probably an 8 or a 9 on the heat scale if we're going 1 to 10. If you're somebody that like uses sriracha regularly, it might be more of like a 4 or 5. It really just depends on your level. I don't think that it's not burn your face off hot or anything like that. We were very very conscious about wanting to make sure like, oh, this is actually a hot sauce that people are going to want to use and eat, that we want to use and eat. We don't want to just make this ridiculous, super hot, burn your face off and laugh about it, like gag hot sauce. That wasn't the idea. And I feel like there's a lot of people that assume that's what it is, because we're a heavy metal band with a hot sauce and we're just trying to rain hellfire on your taste buds. And that's not really the case. You know, we want you to have a good time too, which is pretty much how we feel about our music as a band, which was kind of a funny way to like correlate the band to the hot sauce. It's like, it's very hot and like heavy and intense, but approachable. We want people that are at our show, if they don't typically like metal, to still enjoy themselves, right? So with the hot sauce, we wanted people that don't typically like hot sauce to still enjoy themselves if they ate it.
That is actually important to me whenever it comes to hot sauce, is that it has a flavor to it, and that it's not just all about burning your face and destroying your mouth.
Well, I take condiments very seriously. I always have way more condiments in my fridge than food. It's not uncommon for me to spend more money on condiments at a grocery store than food. It has happened before. I just really like condiments. So that being said, the whole concept for me with a hot sauce is that it's supposed to complement the food. You know, it's not every hot sauce is good for every plate of food, but the right pairing can be phenomenal. It's just a matter of having a hot sauce that is good and has an approachable flavor profile that, you know, you can add to X, Y, or Z, depending on what the base of the hot sauce is.
And again, I don't know a lot about how you would make that, but I know that I am going to have to try that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's, you can make hot sauce at home, you can make beer at home, there's kits and things that you can buy. You know, again, like Tom Mata, shout outs, he's pretty much a one-man operation. He has a few different plots of where he grows. He grows all of his own peppers. He harvests everything. He makes all the sauce. He bottles all the sauce. He labels all of the sauce. He's very, very, very much DIY hot sauce. So we also related with him from that aspect too, because with a lot of our things that we do, we're doing a lot of it ourselves. You know, we do shoot and edit a lot of our own video stuff and handle a lot of our own graphic design stuff, merch design stuff, screen printing, like a lot of those things we actually do ourselves. So it's always fun to work with other people in independent businesses that are also, they have that same mindset of being very just get it done and independent. We really connect with people that are like that.
Well, I have to say that you are, as a band, one of the more approachable bands, definitely, that in the area. You guys are very friendly, come down and meet people after your show.
Yeah.
I got to see you again at your CD release show.
Thank you for coming, by the way.
Oh, it was my pleasure, really. That was a very fun show. I have not gotten over the immense enjoyment of watching a man ride an eggplant, an inflatable eggplant, across the crowd. That was quite something right there.
Well, across the crowd is giving him a little bit more credit than maybe he deserves. Shout outs to Bud, because we all love Bud. He's a great dude. Really, really good friend of the band. But there's video of him like jumping out into the crowd, and he went down pretty hard pretty fast.
He did, but you know what? While he was up, it was amazing.
But it's I feel like that there, we have video of it. That needs to surface at some point in time. We'll hang on to that. But yeah. Bless his heart. That was all his idea, the whole eggplant thing and everything. And, cause he did that originally for, the Pity Capsule music video, which was the first music video that we released from the new album.
Oh, neat.
Last January, that was when we filmed the video, and we had a show at the Smiling Moose headlining video shoot show. And the whole point of the show was, you know, to film this video. And he had this idea, kind of joking around about like wanting to like crowd surf on. And it wasn't an eggplant. It was something else. I think it was just going to be like an inflatable raft, right? But I guess he was looking around on Amazon or wherever at inflatable rafts and found the inflatable eggplant, and he committed to it. I think he sent it over to us, and I don't know if he was expecting us to be like, okay, yeah, go for it, because he seemed kind of surprised, but he said go for it. So he bought an eggplant, and then that was it. So it's in the video, and then it only made sense for him to get his money's worth out of this eggplant. That who knows what he's doing with it when he's not at a Grey Walker show. But I figured let him get some more use out of it. And yeah, everybody really definitely likes to talk about the eggplant. I feel like we need to make little eggplant buttons that say Grey Walker on them or something like that.
This sounds like a good idea.
That'd be a funny little merch idea. That could be good.
Definitely. Other than Brutal Beer Fest, what do you guys have coming up?
So it hasn't been officially announced yet, but anybody that's listening to this right now, it doesn't really matter. I don't think that they plan on really announcing the band. It's kind of a weird's not the right word. It's just a bit of a different situation for us. So the week before Brutal Beer Fest, which would be October 12th, maybe is the day on this show. I need to check a calendar, but we're going to be playing Maggie's Farm Rum. They collaborated with us on the last 2 years of Brutal Beer Fest with Penn Brewery. They are a rum distillery in the Strip District, and they've won a whole mess of awards from all over the world. They're recognized as, like, you know, one of the best rum distilleries around right now, and they're right here in our backyard. Tim and Layla, who own it, are incredibly nice people. And on October 13th, I checked the date, they are having their 5-year anniversary, and there's going to be an outdoor stage. Like, they're blocking off part of the street down there in the Strip. There's going to be an outdoor stage. There's going to be $5 cocktails, 5 bands playing, us being one of them. And it's only $5 to get in.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be cool, like 5-year anniversary outdoor little party celebrating them. We have no idea who else is playing this. We have a sneaking suspicion that we're probably the only metal band on the bill, which will be a lot of fun. I think that I don't know how much of the people that are going to be going to this event are heavy metal fans, but I'm really looking forward to, challenging some intoxicated strangers to a pleasant set of melodic death metal from, you know, a group of nice boys that just want to make everybody headbang and have a good time. But you never know. I'm sure it's going to be a blast. But with that being said, if anybody is into rum and really good cocktails and wants to come hang out with us on October 13th down in the Strip District, please come. We could definitely use some metalheads in the crowd so we don't look like complete psychopaths up there. If there's a few other people at least into it, you know, maybe it'll make some people that are a little apprehensive feel better about enjoying it.
So I don't have to hide the fact that I really did just look at my calendar to see if I have anything that day. Because $5 in, $5 cocktails, and metal screams and growls, I'm okay with this.
Yeah, it should be really, really cool. Again, Tim and Layla Russell are really, really cool people. They've been really awesome and supportive of us when they really had no good reason to be at all. So we definitely appreciate them asking us to play this, which I think is really cool. nothing against any other Pittsburgh bands, but I feel that whenever you get live music at breweries or at fancier cocktail places and things like that, it's always stuff that's a little bit more palatable, which I understand. You know, if I had a cocktail bar, I probably wouldn't ask Postmortal Possession to come play. I'd probably have a jazz band coming and playing and creating a vibe. But with that being said, I love them at Maggie's Farm to be like, yeah, you know what? We want a death metal band to play. There's not going to be very many opportunities for us to play something like that, let alone play something like that, like, outdoors in the Strip District. It's just, it's completely absurd that we have the opportunity. So we're going to be, you know, taking full advantage of it and being very, very happy about it. I'm really looking forward to it.
It sounds like it's going to be an awesome time. Seriously, I did look on my calendar. I want to see if I can't make it there. Hopefully, I won't be working that night.
Yeah, we hope you can make it. You know, it's a Saturday night, and I'm pretty sure, you know, it'll probably be, I imagine if it's like an outside thing, it's probably actually going to be more of like a Saturday afternoon into early evening thing. I actually don't imagine it being a very late night thing with live entertainment outside and stuff. But I know that they've released some details on their social media. If anybody's curious, they can go look it up, just Maggie's Farm Rum. Like I said before, they haven't announced any of the bands that are playing. I don't know if it's supposed to be a surprise or if they just haven't announced them yet, but we kind of let the cat out of the bag. So if we weren't supposed to talk about it, I'm sorry. But again, anybody that's listening to this still at the, you know, 35, 40, 50 minute mark, wherever we're at, you know, they deserve to know about it. They deserve to know.
Yes, definitely. They've held on with us for this long, listening to the two of us just chat away.
Yeah, yeah. And then as far as Pittsburgh stuff goes, you know, we are working on some other stuff, working on kind of a really big show with our mutual friends in Twist of Fate Productions. That'll be next year. That's down the line. We're planning well ahead, but that'll be something fun that we're working on for next year already. And then in terms of, you know, the rest of the year, there's a couple of things that we aren't quite ready to announce, but hey, we're always making moves. We're going out of town at the end of October as well, playing some shows in Ohio and Michigan. And so if there's any Ohio and or Michigan people listening, feel free to keep an eye out for those dates, because we haven't announced any of that stuff yet either. Trying to spread it all out, because there's kind of a lot going on. So if you announce it all at once, it just kind of becomes a lot of noise.
That's very true. You have to know when to put it out there. And speaking of putting things out there, now when was the album released?
That would have been July 6th. So early July was when the album came out. So it's been out. Yes, the album's been out for 2 months, and it's available on all of your standard streaming platforms, whatever you like, the Apple, Google, Spotify, Bandcamp, Tidal, yeah, you know, all the major platforms. And if you're somebody that likes to collect physical media, the CD version of the album is really cool. We don't have vinyl yet. It's maybe something we'll do down the line, but independent band, no label support, can only spend money on so many things, and record manufacturing is a little expensive. But the CD version of the album is really cool. Has an 8-page full color 3D booklet, and the CD comes with 3D glasses. So if you're into having a little bit of a nostalgia trip, you can enjoy our 3D CD while you're reading the lyrics and stuff. All of the artwork in the CD booklet are actually photos from the Without Control video shoot. The Without Control video, which is our story video that was shot by Nathan King. The video, there's all sorts of Easter eggs throughout the video that tie into different lyrics and parts from the songs. The whole album as a whole kind of has like a bit of a thread that ties all of the material together through some, you know, introspective subject matter. And, there's stills from the photo, or like photos that were taken during the video shoot that are kind of sprinkled throughout the booklet, and it's all in 3D. Comes with 3D glasses. It's neat. And yeah, if you're into that, we got them on our website, and we also will have them at any shows that you happen to come to and see us if you decide to come out and spend some time with us.
Now, to keep up on shows, you guys can go to Gray Walker, that's Gray with an E, walker.net, yeah. Or you can go to Facebook, or where else can they find you?
Yeah, I mean, graywalker.net is probably the best place, I would say. I mean, you can even go graywalker.net/shows, and it'll take you to a calendar. Instagram, Facebook, we post pretty regularly on both of those platforms. But on graywalker.net, it's kind of a hub for everything. There's links to all the different social medias on that website. But just whatever, pick whichever one you prefer and just type in Gray Walker with an E, and you'll find us. Just look for the profile picture with five dudes trying to look tough underneath green lighting, and it's us.
Now, you guys do look great on stage. I gotta say, I've got some shots of you before in the past. I've gotten to see you a few times, and you've blown me away every single time.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Gray Walker is freaking amazing.
Thank you. That's really, really nice. I appreciate that. Thank you.
So as we do wrap up for the night, because we are just about at our mark.
Okay, cool.
Do you have any words for the fans?
Thanks, losers. I'm joking. No, thank you for supporting us and coming out to shows and bringing your friends to shows and buying t-shirts and wearing those t-shirts when you go to see bands that are better than us. That's cool. I get text messages all the time, like, I'm at the Parkway Drive concert, and I saw, like, three people wearing Gray Walker shirts. It's sweet. I appreciate it. It's cool, like, coming across stuff like that, or, like, being out at places, and there are, like, people that I don't even know, and I've seen people that I don't even know wearing Gray Walker stuff, which is weird. I've had, like, somebody making my sandwich at Sheetz before be like, hey, aren't you the guy in Gray Walker? And I'm like, yeah. You guys are sick. And I'm like, sweet. Thanks, man. And then, like, I instantly felt bad because you can't leave the MTO makers tips. It's one to, like, you know, fold up a dollar bill into a paper airplane and toss it to the dude for being nice. There's just, like, a whole lot of nice people, and it's been cool watching everything grow and people be into what we're doing. And it seems like we're fortunately attracting, like, other nice people in the metal scene and building up a cool little community of nice, easygoing people in this very intense genre of music. And it's nice.
It's just pretty much described my business operandi right there. It's all about be nice and the nice people will show up.
Absolutely. You know, there's a handful of people that aren't very nice that I wish were nice, because, you know, I think that they have a lot of potential to be nice. But as some may say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I guess grump a bumps are going to be dump a lumps. Thank you for taking the time to, you know, talk with me and let me chat about my band for a little bit. I hope that your listeners that aren't familiar with us, if they haven't already, are interested enough to take the time to watch a video or two or listen to a song, and if they like it, come out to a show. We would like to meet you. If you are listening to this and you like us and you're into what we're doing, if you play in a band and we haven't played a show together, we should probably change that. So hit us up. We're always looking for new bands to play with. We're always looking to meet new people. And the whole reason I think any of us take time out of our day to record a podcast or listen to a podcast is because we're looking to meet other people. So let's take it. Let's take initiative and take the next step and do this outside of the internet land.
Brian, would you like to plug your own podcast?
Sure. So I have a podcast. It's called Start the Beat. It is focused on local arts and entertainment I have reasonably in-depth but fun conversations with artists, musicians, comedians, business owners, etc., just about what they do, why they do it, and how they do it. So earlier we had talked a lot about artists having, you know, complications with, well, I don't know where to even begin when it comes to making a music video, or I don't even know where to begin if it comes to making a hot sauce. Like, those are kind of the questions that I talk about with the guests on the show. So, you know, it's a wide variety of people from all different backgrounds, but it's a whole lot of just figuring it out conversation. And the whole goal as a whole is to create this cool encyclopedia of, like, the Pittsburgh and surrounding area creative scene and the people that are involved. So you have, like, kind of like a timestamp of all this talent from all over the map, right? But also, it's a good way to resource, because no matter who I'm talking to, if I'm talking to somebody that's a DJ, you can be guaranteed that in the conversation, we're going to be talking about how they got into DJing, the gear that they use, troubleshooting gear, how they book shows, how much they get paid, how to ask for money, how to, you know, like, all that kind of stuff we talk about. If it's somebody that makes movies, we're doing the same thing, you know, like, how did you get into making movies? What kind of gear do you use? How accessible is the gear? What's gear that you would suggest to somebody that's looking to get into this? You know, how good of equipment do you really need? If you're making, you know, a video for somebody, how much should you charge if that's what you want to get into? And how much should you expect to pay for a video? When are you getting ripped off? Those kinds of things. Like, the deep questions. If you're into any of that kind of stuff, please listen to the podcast, because I put up episodes almost weekly and they're always about that kind of stuff.
Nice. Very nice. I really enjoy that. You know, if you're ever looking to interview a photographer.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing moving forward with the podcast. I'm starting to evolve from the one-on-one conversations, and I'm starting to put together panel conversations with, like, groups of people to discuss, like, more specific topics rather than just talking specifically with, we'll say, like, a photographer about being a photographer. I'm thinking, like, it could be really cool to have a conversation, we'll say, like, with a photographer and with somebody from a band. And then we have a conversation about, you know, what do photographers really expect from bands? What do bands really expect from photographers? You know, what do photographers really want in terms of compensation and time and things like that? What are bands willing to pay for these things? And kind of create a dialogue around these things so, you know, people that are providing services like you are can, you know, make a little bit of money from this. And also, at the same time, bands can understand that, you know, they can understand the value in this, because I think a lot of bands don't understand the value in those sorts of things. You know, they don't want to spend money on things, which I totally get. But if you're a band that's thinking about, okay, well, taking that business approach to what you're doing, and we're playing 3 shows and we got these new shirts printed, right? So if we play these shows and we sell this merch, then we're going to have enough money that we can funnel that back into the creative ecosystem and pay for a photographer to get some really good photos of us. And then that's going to come around, because since you're paying a photographer, right? What are they going to do with that money? Maybe they're going to invest in better gear. And then down the line, when you can pay a little bit more money for something nicer, you already have a working relationship with somebody that has nicer gear now because you helped them pay for it. It's like that circle of life thing that people are sometimes, they're a little bit too in their bubble to think about. So,
believe me, you are right in my wheelhouse right now. This is actually because one of the worst things and best things I've ever heard in life is, I am not a photographer. And it is very true, because I'm not a photographer. I am the owner of a media company, and I have a better understanding as to what the bands can do. And so I actually did just recently sit down with my staff so that we could come up with a viable number that would give us something, you know, if you don't get paid for something, you lose interest in it.
Totally.
And especially whenever it comes to as much work as all of us in the music scene put into our stuff. And we sat down and came up with a number that we felt was reasonable. People would probably kick our butts if they knew how much we were actually charging for some shows and working out plans so that we can get as much coverage in as possible for bands.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it really comes down to it's a circle of life in the industry. We all have to support each other.
Yeah.
And do so fairly.
Yeah, it's super crucial. You know, anytime we're working with people, you know, we do our best to make sure that everybody gets something, and we try to be very transparent about those things with people, because we want to make sure that the people that we're working with feel like they're being taken care of, you know, just because it's a nice thing to do, because it would be rather hypocritical of us to, you know, complain about not getting paid to play shows and then turn around and, you know, not want to pay somebody that just took promo photos for us.
Absolutely. And it really all plays into the more professional we act, the more professional the scene is.
Yeah. And
the more we hold ourselves to certain standards, the more everybody begins being held to those standards. And that's how we go from being maybe more of a DIY scene to being a more professional and well-known scene.
Well, yeah, I think I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, but with the DIY scene and the value that artists place on themselves, I think that's one of the biggest disservices that we did to ourselves as underground music as a whole. I feel like as a whole, it devalued itself over the past two decades. And a lot of people started giving in to these different show structures, you know, if you want to call it pay to play or whatever. Some people gave into it. The only reason that it got as big and as relevant as it is now, well, actually, I feel like it's starting to kind of go away. It's not nearly as bad as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But I think why it was able to grow in the way that it did was because some people were okay with it. And then those were the people that kind of goofed things up. So you have either people that this could be a whole nother hour debate. We're not going to get into it. It's a whole nother can of worms. But ultimately, yes, I do think that people should put more value on themselves. And yes.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
Well, I'll tell you what. How about we say goodnight and then, hey, you and I can talk more about this.
Sure.
I have a feeling we'll be running into each other around Pittsburgh and shows and such. And
yeah,
we can always meet up and talk, and I am down for, I would love to have the chance to vocalize, you know, from a media company, from a photographer's standpoint, on things without coming off like I'm trying to lecture anyone.
Yeah, no, totally. I've been trying to think of ideas for shows, and that one in particular wasn't an idea that I had until just now. So I have a little Word document with ideas. So once I get off with you, I'm going to write that down, and then I will be in touch.
Absolutely. Well then, I think that I am going to say goodnight here. This is Lady J of Audio Gossip with Lady J on Build the Scene. You've been listening tonight to me talking with Brian Howell of Greywalker. Now that's Greywalker. And before these guys, you know, have to go tagging everything with the A in it.
Yeah, don't make us do that.
Yes,
I'm probably going to do it though.
We have had a really fun and interesting conversation about everything from Grey Walker, the band, to Dark Waters, the new release that they have out, video release on their YouTube channel, to go along with their brand new release CD. And my gosh, these guys have a million things going on. So if you like what you hear here, you should probably show up at Brutal Beer Fest 3 at Miss Smalls October 20th, and you're going to be enjoying the heck out of all the metal bands there that night, plus, hello, new neat beer.
Yeah.
This is never a bad thing, and will you be having the hot sauce there for them to purchase?
If we still have some in stock, sure. We're currently on our fourth batch of it.
My.
We have some. We should have some at the festival. We'll probably have it. But we're also going to have our new beer there, so make sure you get your bellies ready for some new beer. We're doing a wild one this year, so it'll be fun.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, would you like to join me on three and saying goodnight to everyone?
Sure.
One, two, three, good night.
Good night.